This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It is Monday, it's the 8th of April 2024. Coming up today, reaction to more news from Voice Dream Reader and a cool tool to aid web accessibility.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Oh, every time we hit the go button on this show, that music just wakes me up. Unlike bow, bow. This coffee. Pff, do nothing today.
How dare you? Never diss the coffee. That's your favourite friend in the world.
There's my nectar of goodness, but unfortunately, it's not doing much today. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was non-eventful. I just sat down and watched telly a lot. So, yeah, I loved it. Thank you.
I think that's the first weekend, I mean, apart from Sunday for about 3 hours, that we didn't speak.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, for about 3 hours. Yes, we did speak over the weekend, Stephen Scott. But, yeah, only once, which is a new record. Well done for us, at least.
That's right. Look, we're getting our holidays in a row, or ducks in a row.
Holiday ducks. Phrase.
Yeah. Holiday ducks are getting... My holiday, not for you. What are you going to do? You're going to miss me, aren't you? I know you're going to miss me.
Well, no, I don't think I will, because I am pretty, well, 100% sure that you will ring me, WhatsApp me, and Zoom me.
Okay, fine. Fine. I am not going to call you. I'm going to give you a solemn promise that you will not hear from me until I am back. There, okay. Deal with that.
All right, I got a feeling you're trying to bluff me there, and me to say, oh no, please don't do it. I know for certain you will get in contact with me.
Lies, lies, damn lies, maybe truth. Yes. We shall see. But I know the last time, I remember calling you from the cruise ship saying, I'm on a cruise ship. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yes, exactly.
I'm in the water. Not in the water, because that would be off the cruise ship by that point. But I was calling you from the cruise ship. Yeah, I'd just like to talk to you. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry. I like to be your friend.
All right. Goodness okay. Me. It's fine. So basically, what we're saying, to get back on track, is that Stephen is going on holiday, but of course we will still be here.
That's kind right. Of. The show will continue, kind of, in a way. But you know, we will not be away. You will still be able to enjoy. And actually, we're putting together some stuff that you will have heard, but also some stuff you won't have heard. So you see, you got to listen.
That's how we draw you in.
It's not just repeats. It's not just repeats. This is not what we do over here at Double Tap Towers. We don't just, you know, throw in a load of repeats. There's a little bit of that. But, you know, there'll also be other stuff.
There's some exclusive listens. So, yeah, definitely tune in.
Is that what we're calling it?
No, that's what I'm just calling
whatever.
It.
Right.
Stop well it. Done. Stop it. I'm bigger. Right, that's it. I give up. I tried, Mr. F. I tried.
Okay, let's get to the big news of the day. And yes, big news.
Breaking news.
And I'm starting with a voicemail from Graham on this.
Hi, this is Graham Langford in Toronto. I just did an update from the App Store of the apps in my iPhone. And one of them was VD Writer. And under the notes for the update, it said, great news, legacy customers can continue to use VD Writer. Now, I assume from that they have scrapped the idea of forcing us to do a subscription if we want to continue using it, if we'd already bought the app. Now, it may be that some people may not see this yet, because when I go into the App Store, I go down to, in my account, and go down to see the updates, and if it says only one or two, I do a screen refresh, and it tells me more apps are available, and that may be one of them that was designed to be perhaps a bit of a future update that would come in a couple of days. Anyway, it seems that the subscription method has been scrapped. Today is the, 7th of April, so some people may see it.
Well, thank you very much for getting in touch with that information, Graham. And you're absolutely right. As of the 6th of April, there was an update published to an article that had been written by VoiceDream on this very topic. And it was, of course, discussing the changes they were making to the subscription model. But they have relented. They have gone back on the idea of making it that you had to subscribe in order to continue to add new documents and continue to use the app as you would have. Although you could continue to use the app, but you would have to subscribe in order to add new documents. That has been relented. You can continue to add documents continuing on May 1st without the need to subscribe. I'm going to read some of this, Sean, because they did publish this on the website. Following our recent announcement to transition VoiceStream to a subscription, we received an overwhelming response from thousands in our community. Your feedback, along with the impactful stories shared about VoiceStream being a pivotal part of your daily lives, has led us to reverse this change. We will continue to provide access to the app's existing features at no additional cost. As we continue developing VoiceStream, some new features may be offered as part of a subscription, but the current capabilities will remain free to those who have already purchased VoiceDream. For those who have already moved to a subscription, it's no longer necessary to continue using the app. You may cancel your subscription, but we welcome you to keep it active to support ongoing development. For those who wish to support VoiceStream, please consider a subscription, a one-time donation via our website, or simply leaving a positive review in the App Store. We sincerely thank you for your passionate and loyal support of VoiceStream. Your voices have made a difference. Now, that is from the Applause Group. That is their statement that was made on April 6.
Okay. Part of me wants to say power to the people, right? Okay. And it's very interesting there that they pointed out thousands of people have been in touch. That's quite a large user base, right? But that also throws up a little bit of a red flag for me.
Well, we've got a lot of comment on this, especially over the weekend and on Mastodon in particular. And Alora has managed to capture some of that. So we're going to hear those comments from people on Mastodon. I also just want to say at this point, I think this is important why these shows exist, because a lot of people don't know this news because they don't live on social media like others do, like we do. So, you know, you might not be aware of this news. Graham found out from the app itself. And I think it kind of highlights the need for conversations like this, because not everyone's living on social, right? So, you know, we're here to help with that. But yeah, I wanted to read the statement, but I also wanted to just pick up on something, because they have left the original statement in place. So just below that statement is the existing, or the previous statement, you might say. And this was the one where they were talking about the fact that, you know, and I quote here, to keep improving the app, we're switching over to subscription pricing on May 1st, 2024. This is the previous statement, I add. This subscription includes the Mac app, all the voices and much more. You will always have access to existing documents, but the subscription will be required to upload new ones. This is the bit that I find interesting. We made this difficult decision to balance rising costs with our goal to keep building a better app for readers like you. Here's why we've decided to make the change now. Continue shipping improvements. In the past year, we've shipped dozens of improvements, including canvas customization, customizable margins, notes exporting, synced iOS and Mac apps, integration with OneDrive, dozens of bug fixes. In the next year, we're expanding the team, we're adding better voices, we're integrating with Kindle, improving our Apple Watch app, and building many other features requested by readers like you. Some of our most beloved features, unlimited listening, full voice library, access to both iOS and macOS apps, come with recurring costs. Subscriptions align better with this long-term cost of maintenance. Now, it goes on to talk about the fact that they provide free VoiceStream accounts to students and school districts who need them. And it talks about the discount that was in place in that statement. But of course, I want to stop there because obviously this has changed. And my question is, what's changed? Because it seems to me that they needed this investment from the community, from us, from the punter, from the people who are buying the app, who want to use the app, in order to do all the things they wanted to do. How can they continue to do that now?
Yeah, it was either feasible at the current rate of financial support, or it wasn't. That's why I mentioned red flags with the thousands of voices that they heard back from. I mean, is there a saturation point here with, okay, so the lifetime purchases have reached the limit, you know, the saturation point of how many people are going to buy it, the majority of people. So how can... Does this actually spell, okay, so the future of VoiceStream Reader may not be as rosy as it would have been with the subscription?
I mean, that's not indicated here. No one's indicating that at this point.
Yeah, but if
no
you take
saying that.
If you take that previous statement as in this is needed.
Yeah.
And then you take the statement that, okay, we've relented.
If the landlord says, I really need the rent money, and you say, look, I just can't do it, I'm sorry. And he goes, okay, fine. Surely it has to be an impact somewhere down the line on that. That's my thought. There always has to be an there must be some impact on this. Because if you go from, and bear in mind that what we went from is everybody must upgrade, everyone must subscribe to this model.
Yes.
To now, you don't have to if you're an existing customer or you've bought the lifetime license, essentially. So those who've bought the lifetime license can almost see it as that lifetime license. However, you may need to upgrade your subscription or go back onto a subscription to get new features. Now, to me, it all seems like the end result to the same thing. You still have to buy a subscription if you want the new features. Now, people might say, well, I don't want the new features, so I'll just stick to what I've got. That's fine. But how long is that model sustainable? You know, I remember just last week, we were talking about Gmail. And someone made the point that the reason Gmail has changed to this new web view and the reason they're getting rid of the old view is because they can't maintain two different layouts. That's Google.
Yeah.
They can't hold on to two different Gmail layouts. And we're expecting a company who, I don't know the size of Applause Group. I'm going to just stab in the dark and say they're not as big as Google. Okay. And you know, are we expecting them to be able to continue with, by the way, a significantly smaller user base? So I just wonder in this rush to make this decision to appease the community, to appease the loud voices in our community who have said this is not good enough, I wonder if they've jumped too quick. I wonder if they should have held firm in this, because in the end, we may lose this app. And I said this last week. I said, if we're not careful, we'll lose this app. People who are going after it on the App Store. I mean, I saw some weird comments online over the weekend, people accusing other people of bullying with this. I don't think it's bullying to report an app to the App Store if that's what you want to do. I don't think that's bullying an app or a developer. I think that's unfair. And I don't think anybody should be using that kind of language around it. That's not what it is. But what I will say is you have to think about consequences. You have to think about the consequences to your actions. If you go to Apple and say this app isn't doing, is, you know, as everyone seems to be quoting or now using the phrase violating guidelines, which I don't think it actually was, certainly not in any clear way. Perhaps you could make the argument, but it was very vague based on the guidelines that were issued by Apple. So it wasn't a clear cut slam dunk case. To me seemed that there was certainly wiggle room here from the developer. But from Apple's point of view, what could they do? The only thing they could do from their perspective or their position was to get rid of the app. That's all they can do. They can kick the app out of the App Store for violating the guidelines. And would that have solved the problem? Would that have been good? Well, the same people who go on about wanting to work with people and, you know, let's work with people are the same people that were going after the app in the App Store, where the only result was going to be the app gets kicked out of the App Store. That's not bullying. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but no. The counter argument to that is that would force the hand of the developer to actually address the problem.
When the app is kicked out of the App Store, if an app's been suspended,
it's not kicked out permanently until they address the problems that it was kicked out for. So the argument would be that, okay, it's violated, perceived to violate the Apple guidelines. So it's kicked out. The developer will need to make changes, in this case, ditch the subscription model for legacy purchasers of the app, and then it would come back in. So, I mean, you could argue that that is a solution of sorts. But there's no guarantee that would happen. It could just be, okay, let's just dump it.
But we also want trust, right? We want to trust developers. We want to trust people. We always say this. We are loyal to people who are loyal to us. We say that a lot in our community, and it's true. We are. But that trust works both ways. If I go after someone and I have their app knocked out of the App Store, do you think they're going to take my call? I've done reviews in the past where people don't like what I say and they don't talk to me again.
That's true. Yes. Okay.
Trust goes both ways. But the difference with me is I know that because I understand consequence. So I just think, you know, there was a rush here. There was a pile on which did happen. And I feel as if it's true, and again, this is all comes down to the company, if they needed the money to develop this app, then they're not getting it now because, you know, I see people online who are on Mastodon in particular saying things like, well, you know, I've continued to subscribe and, you know, I'll do it. I won't use the app, but I'm going to do it anyway just to, you know, help them along. Well, that's good. And I think that's fantastic if you can do that. And I've said this many times. I've said the same thing. If I can afford to keep something going and put some money in the pot to help the developer, I will do it. But I would never expect everyone else to do it, especially in a community where 75% of which are unemployed. I'm certainly not going to expect people to put their hands in their pocket and just look after this developer. Because if you're looking after that developer, then someone's going to say, well, why are you not looking after that developer? And why are you not looking after this developer? And what about Soundscape? And what about this? And what about that? And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. This isn't a way to do things.
Well, yeah, it's about what so what is the best result for this situation? Because now they've turned around and we're both sounding like, okay. But then if when it was, okay, everyone's got to pay, even if you paid before or not, well, that's not a good idea.
So I said it was fine.
Yeah, you
I
did. Didn't say that. To I be said fair, you did. No, but what we said was probably the best solution was if they brought out a different app and kept this one going until end of
that
life.
That would have been a smarter move. Yeah, I mean, look.
Which is kind
of
where
they've
gone.
Do I think they have
gone.
Made a horse's head mess of this thing? Yes, absolutely they've made a mess of this. But and they're trying their best to navigate this without offending people. But that's not how to run a business. You have to run a business by having an honest conversation and saying, look, guys, if you want this app to continue...
As a business.
We need money. That's how it works.
Well,
and I think if that was the conversation, then to me, I would have accepted that. And I think the community would have as well. Now, there's always people who will disagree. Well, that's fine. We're allowed to disagree. That's fine. But the question is, what will the impact of this decision be? And I do worry about the future of this app now because it's not going to get the financial support that it clearly said it needed. Now, apparently, it doesn't need. It's going to be fine. Okay, well, we shall see.
Yes, it depends. Hey, let's see what updates and new features they bring. Maybe they bring out some killer features and updates that will make people want to subscribe. I mean,
well, but then we're back to square one again. You still have to subscribe, right? That's the point. That's exactly the point. It's like, well, of course, if you want it to continue, you got to pay. We're back to square one again.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but that model isn't unique, right? I mean, there's lots of models where you pay.
Nothing about that is unusual, but we're just going back to square one where we're saying, well, you know, oh, I really want that Kindle feature because everyone seems to want with Kindle, which actually sounds like a fantastic feature. So, okay, great, but you got to pay for it. Yeah, okay, I'll pay for that then. Okay, fine, but you're still paying. So what was the argument about? I don't understand. If you're talking about development,
Versus what
the mistake,
you thought
the mistake
at the time
that has been made here, the mistake that's been made, and unfortunately, this is not the only developer to do this, but delivering a free app is the biggest mistake you can make. Lifetime subscription, worst mistake you can make.
I agree.
Unless you're planning to make an app that dies in a year or 2 years' time, you're never going to make enough money to be able to maintain that as an approach. It doesn't work anymore. And I would have thought by 2024, app developers would realize this. It seems like a nice idea, and I go on about this all the time. The community will pay. We will all pay. Not blind people. Anybody will pay for something that's good, that's usable, that is making our lives better. You know, I paid, I think it was like £50 a year for the Calm app. Remember the meditation app? It also gets you to sleep at night. That's a lot of money. It's like, to me, 50 quid a year is quite a lot for what it is. But do you know what? It's a brilliant app. So I'm going to pay the money. That means I might not pay for something else. I might cancel something over here. That's how it works. That's how the market works. So I just think, you know, we've got to be careful with this. And also, I worry a little bit about this advocacy approach. Because to me, it feels like we have very few people in the room engaging with these developers. We have a couple of people who are willing to shout out loud and other people who are willing to just say, yes, let's do whatever they say. That cannot continue. Because that individual or those individuals or whoever it is, in that room, and I see this all the time, I saw it through my career as well, you have small numbers of blind people almost representing the community, whatever that means. What does the community think is one? And it goes back to my point about one true opinion. There is no one true opinion here. We all have different views, and the only way you garner those views is by talking to the community, not one or two people.
Well, that may be true with social media.
No spokesperson for me, I'll tell you that. There's no spokesperson for me.
Yeah, but if the company
comes out... You want to ask my opinion? Knock my door.
If the company comes out in their own statement and says they've heard from thousands of people, then that's fair enough. That is a fair representation of their user base.
We don't know that's true.
Well, they said it.
They said it, but I mean, really? I mean, that sounds like a big number. Thousands.
Also, it does.
How many thousands? 1,000? 10,000? 100,000? I don't know.
No. I think, look, the thing I take away from this is that I think you're absolutely right in be careful what you offer. And using certain terms is so important. And saying lifetime, I think it's such a mistake.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
People will hold on to that, rightfully so. It's not on the user to say,
developers,
okay,
be warned.
Yeah,
developers,
absolutely.
Be warned. Listen, we reached out to Applause Group. They haven't returned our emails. They haven't come back to us. So we have asked them if they do wish to come on. They are more than welcome to come on and share their view on this. For me, this is not really about them specifically. I know some people might want to make it personal about them. I don't think it is about them. I think this is about a model of development and sales, which I just don't think works anymore. And I think people need to seriously think about it. I mean, and clearly Applause Group know this because they've moved to subscription, which is what everyone else is doing. That's how you keep income coming in. That's how you keep the money flowing. And it's how you continue to develop. Anyway, I'm going to shut up because we have so many comments to get through from this. Laura's been reading some of these for us over the weekend. So thank you to Laura for jumping in on Sunday on this. But these are some of your comments from social media. I'll start with Rook.
Rook writes, I honestly hope that VDR will continue to be developed, but I wouldn't be surprised in a year or so when they announce they can't continue to make VDR because of the lack of financial support. People aren't going to give money to VDR if they don't have to do so. So there may be a bit of support coming in for those who feel bad for VDR and their teams of devs working on new features, but that will fade and people will just use the free features and VDR might be gone in a year or two because there is no investment financially by the blind community. I'm an Android user.
Thank you, Rook. Amir also writes, nope, they did the right thing. Taking away features from users was also against Apple's policies. Well, I'm hearing this a lot. Again, a little bit vague on that one. I don't think it's quite as clear cut as that, but I do take your point, Amir. Chris writes,
I think they definitely did the right thing, and ironically, as a result, many people have decided to keep their subscriptions and not cancel them. They are doing this to support and help the developers, and so they'll be able to access any new features.
Meanwhile,
Roberto writes, I'll keep my subscription at least for a year for the reasons you are indicating, but if they develop the awesome features they wanted to charge us for in advance, people will invest. They wanted money without additional value from those of us who already paid for existing features. Unfortunately, I don't trust this company for reasons that go beyond VDR. I believe they bought a product they don't understand.
Well, I think they were asking for subscription to allow them to develop the features. That's what I was reading from their statement. So the money wouldn't give you new features initially, but you would get those features over time. Now, I can also see that point of view that, well, why am I paying money for something I've already bought and I'm not getting anything new as a result of it? I can see that point. I do take that point,
yep.
Roberto. That is another fair point in this, which I think is, again, pointing to just a lack of judgment here in the way they handle this. Stan got in touch.
Well, I agree with everything you're saying about the market and that people could always not pay for a subscription, and I'm opting not to pay for it for two reasons. One, I think that Applause Group is culpable by their actions, and that means everything. Applause Group, I have a feeling that Applause Group may have realized that they paid Winston Chen too much for his great app. And the market also indicates that if you pay too much, you either close things down or you do what they're doing with the subscription. But also, one, I think they're culpable in that when you start a business, what you do is you have to do your due diligence to see whether that business is worth buying. Secondly, you have to develop a business plan to indicate whether what you're doing can sustain that particular plan. Now, I realize you can always be wrong, and we all have the right to be wrong, as far as I'm concerned. But I think these are things that should be considered as well, in addition to the things that you have mentioned. I will not pay for it. I will not, and I think very bad, they have a very bad public relations problem. And it is for that reason alone, I would never buy a subscription from them. I wonder if Applause Group has anything else that they're doing. Now, they won't get any applause from me and many other people. Yes, we have a right to also say, we're not buying. We're not spending money now. Sort of in that respect, we're like Sean. Have a good day. Take care.
What?
That'll slice at you there, I think.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Stan. But I will say, nobody's forcing you to buy anything. Now, to be fair, that voicemail came in before the announcement. That came in last week. So I appreciate that, Stan. I guess the timeline is slightly off. But by what you're saying, I'm guessing even then your view probably hasn't changed that much. But no one forced you to buy it. I guess that's the view. There are other options out there. It's a bit like the case with Apple at the moment. Everyone's saying, well, you know, Apple's a monopoly. Well, you know, not, yeah, if you assume that Google doesn't exist and there's no such thing called Android, then yeah, you're probably right. But there is. So, you know.
And this is all pure speculation. We don't know how much was paid to Winston about this. I feel sorry for Winston, to be honest. I think he was a great developer with a really good reputation in the community. And I hate to think that anyone who feels differently towards Winston about this. You know, at the end of the day, he's a family man and has a business, and he had to do what he needed to do. And we don't know what was paid. But I find it really, I find it really difficult to think that this Applause Group would invest and not think, you know what, we can get our money by turning this into a subscription model anyway. I am 100% sure they did look into costs, economies of scale, and how they would make money out of this. And I'm 100% sure that subscription was the major part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, well, I'm going to end up repeating myself, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Camille also wrote in last week. Here's what he had to say at that stage.
Well, I figured I too should let your audience know my thoughts about the VoiceStream reader changes. I use the app pretty well every day once done listening to the Double Tap podcast. I love the ease of use and accessibility of the app, but at $80 US a year, I don't think so. The CNIB has an audiobook reader I can get for $97 Canadian. It is small and a portable device that is being promoted by the CELA organisation, which is where most of us Canadians get our audiobooks. If you check the groups.io webpage, they now have a group set up specifically for the VoiceStream Reader users. The VoiceStream Reader developers are listening to what the community has to say, which is nice to see. Happy tapping, Camille.
Thank you, Camille. Again, that email before the announcement, but again, I'm guessing, and that's why I played it in, I don't imagine your view will have changed too much, but we shall see. Also, just to say, there is a monthly option as well, so you don't have to pay up front. Of course, now that would be seen as an optional extra. You can go and get that upgrade if you want to. I must admit, I'm going to spend some time with this app because I've heard so much about it in the past couple of weeks. I want to go back into it again. Especially as I was hearing from a friend of mine that you can add audio to it as well. That's pretty cool. Something I didn't even think about. But someone else mentioned this as well, the fact that you can get audio on there.
Using it as an audio player. And the standout feature being that it remembers the places in every file that you play, which is quite unusual. So you can be listening to various bits of audio at different times and pick up exactly where you left off, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I just thought it was text. I thought it was just text you could add in. So that's really interesting.
Well, you mentioned the monthly payment thing there. And as Camille said, it's something that they use every single day. Is $8 a month too much to ask for something you use every day and you get genuine...
This is kind of why I feel sometimes we you know, cut off our own nose to spite our face in some of these arguments. You know, the same people who are absolute lovers of these apps, and this particular one, is, it seems, has just caught fire in the community. Everyone seems to be talking about this app. It's like, well, if it's so important to you, pay for it. Don't you want it to continue? Don't you want it to be there? Now, I guess most people probably want this result, which is, well, I want to have the choice to continue it. And like I said, and I've said consistently, I think they made a complete mess of this.
Yes.
And I don't think they should have done it this way at all. And I think the first thing should have been either bring in a plus version of it or rename it or do something else, but essentially present it as a new offering. That would have at least made sense from a consumer point of view. Just saying, hey, pay us some money and we'll keep what you've got going and we'll add new features. I think without a serious conversation with the community, like coming onto a show like this and saying, look, here's our plan, here's what we're going to do, I think that would have garnered a lot more support. I have no doubt there are people who are inside the applause group who will be thinking, you know what, we'll learn lessons from this. We will absolutely learn lessons.
I hope so.
But I just don't want them flung under the bus entirely, because they clearly are listening. I maybe think they've jumped a little bit too quickly on this personally, but, well, I'll let others decide.
Wow.
One final comment before we go to break on this, and then we'll move on. But this from Darren.
Darren writes, I believe the company's decision to reverse course was premature. I am and remain willing to support their services through a subscription. The recent events surrounding their decision are deeply concerning and run counter to the principles of equitable advocacy. Advocacy should aim to effect change that benefits all, yet the tactics employed in this instance resembled coercion more than collaboration. While there are circumstances where a firm stance is necessary, discernment is key to choosing the appropriate approach. The Hearthstone Access modifications discontinuation led to an unprecedented display of solidarity with the blindness community. A petition on change.org garnered significant attention, prompting Blizzard to take notice. This positive response has not only encouraged Blizzard to enhance Hearthstone's accessibility, but has also inspired community members to continue the project, ensuring its ongoing success. Similarly, improvements to the World of Warcraft's accessibility are underway, not as a result of undue pressure, but through constructive community engagement. The petition for Hearthstone was crafted without animosity or accusation, exemplifying that advocacy can be both effective and respectful. In this scenario, it is clear that intimidation and threats were unnecessary and, ultimately, not the solution.
Okay, well, there you go. Darren there, discussing two points about this, ultimately the result and also the tactics used in the advocacy. And I think that is going back to my point earlier about the way these things are handled. It does seem that there are models out there where people can engage constructively. I don't think there's any need for, and I'm not aware of personally any of these tactics you're talking about being flung around. I guess the closest I could see to what you're talking about is perhaps the suggestion of, I think people were being urged to go and give the app a one-star review.
Yes.
Also, others were encouraged to go to the App Store and report the app for breaking guidelines. I don't know if I'd call them nasty tactics, but there's certainly tactics that... Yeah, well, I mean...
It's all legal. It's all perfectly fine.
Well, of course it is, yeah. Yeah, but lots of things are legal, but...
Yeah.
But doesn't make them right. So, you know, I just don't know if that's the best form of advocacy. I don't know if it was the best approach to, and also whether we even got the right result. But time will tell, as they say.
Yes.
We're going to move on because we need to take a break or we'll get shouted at by you know who. So, So time to move on. We will come back, though, lots more to talk about, including web accessibility and a great tool that our good friend Alison Sheridan has found while she was at CSUN this year.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567 or email us feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Oh, I am so excited, Sean. August 8th, I am marking in my diary.
Oh, let me think. It's not my birthday. Well, why? What happens?
The blind Tesla will be unveiled. Oh, it's going to be big.
Breaking news.
Wait, hang on. We didn't kick off with this story? A blind Tesla? What are you talking about?
The Tesla will be blind. No, this is the Tesla for blind people. Tesla unveiling a robo-taxi on August 8th.
Oh, God. You had me so excited then. How dare you, sir?
Elon Musk has published it on X after Reuters published a report that the car maker is scrapping its plans to produce a low-cost electric vehicle. Reuters said the directive was to go all in on robo-taxis built on the company's small vehicle platform. So instead of building a small, low-cost car or a low-cost electric vehicle, instead they're going to sell them off as taxis. Which,
what's the difference? What does it matter? What are they talking about? They just give it a different label then. Okay, so they're still producing low-cost electric cars. It's so difficult to say that. Low-cost electric cars. But instead of being consumer-based, they're for the taxi.
Yeah. So a few commentators are a little unsure how this is going to work because apparently Tesla works on a camera-only system. It dropped radar and other sensors, which other robo-taxi companies like Waymo used extensively. So we shall see what that means. Waymo, I would say, are way ahead on this. Thank you.
That's all you're getting.
I couldn't even be bothered to laugh at that joke myself. I was like, that's all right.
Yeah, too late to the game, surely.
No, I mean, come on. The game hasn't even begun. Are you kidding me?
No. The game began a decade ago when it comes to the software behind. Tesla are still...
No. You're missing the point. The service hasn't even begun yet. So it's the service that he is trying to get involved in. Yeah, okay. Waymo might be way ahead of the game. Others may be getting into it and even further ahead than others. But I think it's all about getting the service out there.
The service in what respect do you mean service?
Well, I mean, if people can pick up these cars and make, and you know, this is all about delivery. And Tesla in the past have not been known for this. But, you know, if they can get these cars out, if they can get these cars into the hands of the people who are the companies that want to run them.
Want to run the fleets of taxis, yes.
Yeah, so then basically, that's going to be the winner, right?
So they're just talking about the supply of the vehicle itself, right? But the software that's running it, the self-driving aspect of it, I mean, Tesla are way behind with their self-driving software and capabilities to a extent where they've had to relabel it. That is not self-driving. Autopilot isn't self-driving. It's a driving assistant or driving aid, just like self-parking. Waymo are so in front when it comes to the software side and the capabilities of self-driving that Tesla can only hope to be, I would have thought, suppliers of the hardware itself. And at that point, can they actually hit a price that is okay with that? It doesn't make it more sense to just go with a retrofit an existing car from another car manufacturer? I don't know.
I want a robot in the driving seat. Can that be done? I want it to pretend that it's driving. A little robot, kind of square head.
Like we're at Disney World, something like that. Johnny Cabs, I believe it was, in Total Recall. Yeah, just a ventriloquist dummy in the front. Yeah,
there you go. Absolutely brilliant. Because it doesn't have to talk to us, though, because that's the only thing. I kind of don't want the talking part. Can we just disable that? It's like a sock in its mouth or something. I don't know. Whatever you do with a robot.
The robot that says, oh, it must be so difficult to be blind. I'm so happy I'm not you. No guide dogs. I'm allergic.
I can't get out of this car. I cannot get out of this car. It will not stop. This is just ridiculous. Yeah, do you know, it's funny though. I was thinking about the whole AI conversation and we've been having about regulations over the past couple of years. And I think, you know, if you want to know how quickly governments will move on AI regulation, just look at driverless cars. That's all you have to do. Just look at driverless cars. Look at where we are with that. Regulation can't even be sought out for that. So, I mean, in some places it is, but definitely not quickly enough.
And Phoenix, as a result, Arizona.
Goodness me. The robots will have taken over. I tell you who will write the regulations on AI? AI itself. Because the robots will be in charge by the time they get around to it.
That's also breaking news, by the way. Did you see that the Waymo taxi service that's happening in Phoenix, Arizona? As we talked to Greg from Arizona, who's given us some great recordings of that. They are now delivering food via the self-driving cars. So, yes, indeed. So
right, I'm moving to Phoenix, Arizona. Does it rain in Phoenix, Arizona? Because if it rains,
no.
I'll need to listen to that Glen Campbell song.
Oh?
Rather than time I get to Phoenix. She'll be waiting.
She'll be.
I wonder if it mentions rain. If it mentions rain, I'm in.
Does it mention self-driving chicken? That's all you're worried about. I don't think it does.
There's the headline in the today's title. That's it. You got it. Well done. Right, look, let's move on because Alison Sheridan was at CSUN and she was there for her Nozilla podcast. Alison, backwards. Brilliant. Love
Clever.
It. You can also find out more about Alison at podfeet.com and check out all of her amazing content there. Here's a conversation she had, though, talking about web accessibility.
When I'm doing web development and I'm kind of pushing my community towards doing this, I like to test my sites for accessibility for the work that I'm doing. And one of the things I've been using is the Wave Accessibility tool, which allows me to do that, gives me feedback on exactly what's right and what's wrong. It's maybe not the cleanest, prettiest thing I've ever used in my life, but I'm here with, and I've forgotten your name one more time, Oliver Emberton from Silktide, who is a free service that's going to help us do a better job of testing our sites for accessibility. Is that correct?
That's very correct. Yes, we went out of our way. We've been using Wave for about a decade or so. We went out of our way to look at Wave, to look at Axe, to look at all of the major free tools out there. And we took all of the best bits of all of them, and we shamelessly stole them, and we made them better.
Okay.
And we're giving it away for free.
Well, that's my language. So in general, what I'm used to being able to do is to just look at my website and see, have I missed any image descriptions?
Yeah.
What about contrast is a big one. That one's always really hard for me to fix because it doesn't ever tell me what to do about it. It just says, nope, it's wrong. And so I guess another number and it says, nope, it's still wrong. You know, hot or cold, hot or cold.
Well, I know why that's tricky, because the thing with color is you can suggest colors, but sometimes there's a human judgment component, right? Should you make it lighter? Should you make it darker? Should you rotate all of your oranges around to become reds? Reds are easier to make contrasting than orange, for example. People don't know that.
Right. Just give me a hint.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I mean, we provide contrast tools. It's built in there, much like all of these others, right? We give you the color dropper, we'll scan your page, we'll automatically find the text where the contrast is too low, where the contrast is good enough, and we'll tell you things like this text could be larger, or you could bump the contrast. So, you know, choose.
Oh, okay. So make design choices that can still achieve the same goal?
That's the aim. Yeah.
Okay. So how does this work? Is this a separate app or a plugin? What is this?
Yeah, so right now it's a Chrome extension, so it's completely free. You just Google for Silktide in the Chrome store, and then you just install it. And it takes like one mouse click, and then you have an array of free tools, which includes the color contrast you mentioned, and a whole ton of other stuff, like a screen reader simulator, for example.
A screen reader simulator? How does that work?
Well, it's kind of what it sounds like on the tin. So we work with screen readers all day long, right? And if you've ever had the experience yourself, you'll know it's really, really difficult to set up a screen reader. Screen reader is a lot of work, right? Typically, many, many hours installing an awkward piece of software.
Unless you're on a Mac and it's already there.
Well, yeah, I don't like to brag. Yeah, that's true. But even then, right? So I do use a Mac, and it's still tricky because you have to go through like a learning process. There's like an entire wizard.
Well, it's not easy to learn. I didn't say that, but it's at least already there.
Yeah. And I've been using one of those for years and I still get lost. I still sometimes get trapped somewhere and I'm like, how do I get out of here? And I reset the whole thing. So what we did is we just built a one-click button inside this tool that just simulates the screen reader inside any web page you're viewing in Chrome. So you just go to the page that you want to test, and you push the button, and now you're using a fake screen reader, which works just like NVDA, except we tell you how to use it down the side of the screen, so you don't need to sit there and do a three-hour course.
So you don't need to learn the screen reader, it's already there. An example where I was using this with XKPassWD in our development process with Helma and Mike Price and some others is... We were trying really hard to make sure we had labels on everything so that screen readers would be okay. But I discovered by using a test screen reader that there were like two areas out in the middle of nowhere that were reading things out on audibly, and that's not what we wanted. Didn't realize we were causing that, but you'd be able to see that with Silktide.
Yeah, and that's exactly why you need it, right? Because you can do all of the abstract learning that you like. You can sit there and read the theory, but there's no substitute for actually experiencing it yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, imagine if you were making TV back in the day. I remember this. You're making TV for black and white TVs. How old am I? Don't ask. As late as in the 90s, they were making TV ads, and they had to make sure that they still worked on black and white televisions. Sounds crazy. And you can try and guess what that's like, or you can just find a black and white television. And if you don't do that, you can do all the theory. You can be like, oh, I think this color works, and I think it... No, you just need to try it.
Right,
there's,
right.
There's no substitute for that. The problem has been with screen readers is that's incredibly hard. And we were like, can we make that something you can do in two mouse clicks, which it now is.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. So can we take a look at it and see how this works?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to do a live demo here. So now this the audience is... audio and video. Are you going to be able to hold that still enough up in the air, Oliver?
Oh, I see your point. Shall we try this?
Let's yes.
Try this. Okay.
So I'm going to talk through what's going on because there's audio-only listeners as well.
Okay. So I'm just going to open the extension, which is one click up here.
He's got a website open called fakeuniversity.com.
Yeah, to protect the guilty, we decided to make a free website, which is deliberately riddled with all manner of accessibility issues. So
this opened up a sidebar on the left that says Silk Tide, and it's got a bunch of different options for accessibility checker, color contrast, alt text, screen readers. All right.
Yeah, all sorts. So the sort of thing that people will often want to do is they might want to go into, say, focus order. This is one that I like. So if I click on focus order, this shows you the order of parts of the page as you would tab through them. So if you're using assistive tech, you can see how you would step through.
So what we're seeing on screen is a purple line with numbers on it, and so when it gets to each button, it's got the number there. I see 8, and then there's a picture of an image. That's 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been also useful in what we were doing. We had a banner that was in the order 4, so you'd get content, content, content. Here's a picture for no reason. And this would have visually really told it to us.
Absolutely. And then in the same way, I'm sure we've all been here where you're like, well, what's the alternative text on this page? If you want to see it, you can click on this, and we'll tell you the alt text, for example, is missing on this image, and we'll tell you what it is on other parts of the page. So these are actually all missing alt text. In fact, this is kind of a bad example. Let me show you a website that does it well. So if I
so now he's on the BBC. Oh, the Brits got to bring this up.
Well, of course I do. I am still technically, legally half British.
I heard you're a Texan.
I am indeed a Texan, and I won't deny it. And I prefer Texas to England. Don't hold it against me.
Oh, jeez.
Controversy. You're finding it here. Spicy take. Anyway, but no, what you can see is alternative text on the screen overlaid over these images.
So, on every image we can see what the alt text is, and we're seeing a lot of green on the BBC website.
That's right. But one of the things that we found is that when we were looking at websites or testing or improving websites, you want to see the alternative text in context. You want to know what it applies to without doing lots of extra work. So the idea of this is it just makes it really, really obvious.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So I'm going to come back out of that. Let's go back to the fake university website. And I'm just going to show you the screen reader simulator, because this is definitely one of my favorite things.
So is this going to be talking out loud, and I should move the mic down to the speaker?
I'll turn the sound up a little bit. It's going to be hard to judge. We'll see how this goes. So if I click on this... Oh, no. Sorry. I'm going to skip next.
Link. Button toggle navigation. Heading 1, choose your future. List with 0 items. Paragraph: embark on an extraordinary educational journey at Fake University, where the boundless realm of knowledge seamlessly converges.
Okay, I'm going to mute it now because that's going to get annoying very quickly. So we all know what a screen reader is like. The idea of this is that we've made a sidebar that gives you, firstly, immediately obvious controls on how to use this, right? So previous, next, and select. So you can go through here. I can select this button, for example, if I wanted. And then everything that's being spoken out loud is shown here as a transcript. So if you're not able to remember what was just happening, you can read it later on. The idea is, for example, I might be a web developer working on this, and I don't have perfect memory, for one, or I don't want to turn this audio on and listen to the robot voice throughout my day. I can just leave it silently there and read the narration. And then there's a whole ton of stuff, because, of course, a real screen reader has things like you might skip to headings and so on, right? And when you're doing that, you need to know your shortcuts. There are various shortcuts for landmarks, headings, links, form inputs, etc. We've simulated all of those, and you can run those and see how they behave on your site.
Oh, that is really slick. I like this. And it isn't ugly.
All
right, this is a hard one. You know how I feel about contrast. Let's see the contrast color checker.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. So the color contrast checker, we've got a tool here designed to help do the thing that you would expect, which is, you know, you can pick out any two colors. That's just a silly example, but you can pick out any colors you want if you wish. So you can do, for example, that. We also have
Well, hang on one second here. We're apparently, we're getting the hook. Okay, 1 hour to closing time. Okay, so going back to the color contrast checker, I think that's got the thing I wanted, mm-hmm. was that when you go, when he's flipping through, he's able to see and choose different colors right on the fly and see whether it fixes the contrast. I've had to go back into my web design, into the HTML, and change it in order to see, and then rerun the Wave tool.
Yeah, so I will be honest, at the moment, we do let you change, you can see here the colors. We're highlighting, I don't know if you can see this part of the page where the contrast is not good enough. We'll show you what's going on. But we don't currently give you like a tool here to preview changing that color. Oh. Now that you said it out loud to me and put me on the spot, I'm like, that's a good feature. We should do that.
Well, I thought I just saw you do it a second ago. You picked two colors and you said that's not a good example.
No. You're right. Yeah. That's something else. That's for like, you can look at any two colors you'd like. So for example, I could go, how does that color contrast with, say, that color? And yeah, that you can.
Yeah, so just take that little tool there and stick it over in the other color checker so I can get it right. When we're going back to the, not just color contrast, build this capability you have here over into when I've got a fail. I can say, okay, let me darken. Okay, good enough. I got my 4.52:1 contrast ratio.
That makes perfect sense. I have been working on this project for a while. I'd be very happy to take this back to the team and say, oi guys, sort it out.
I love it. All right, this is really fantastic. Is that all the high points there?
There is just one more thing I'll show you because it's easily missed. Everything you've seen here works on different devices. So if I wanted, I could have done that on an iPad, or I could have done it on, say, an iPhone.
And so he's got a simulator running on all of these.
That's right. And so even things like the screen reader or things like the focus order will work on all of those devices.
Oh my gosh, this is spectacular, and it's free.
It's 100% free, and it always will be.
Is that because you're a wonderful human being, or you've got a business plan that on something else?
It could be that, or it could be I'm very bad at running a business. You're going to have to decide for yourself.
All right, well, Oliver, this has been fantastic. Again, it's SilkTide, and you just look it up in the Chrome store. You can run it on Microsoft Edge or on any Chromium browser, I assume?
At the moment, it is literally just Google Chrome, but we are working on other browsers as we speak.
Not on Edge. Usually everything that works on Chrome works on Edge.
Well, actually, okay.
It might do.
You know what? Yeah. I don't know.
I'll try it. I'll let you know if it doesn't.
Okay.
All right.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I'm starting to think we should have sent Alison into the voice stream reader negotiations. I think she'd have had it fixed in 2 minutes flat.
Just shift that
she
over there.
She is wonderful. Yes. She is brilliant.
Amazing.
I love Alison. Just go after them. Fix it. That is the way to do it. Oh, so good. Check out our podcast. NozillaCast is where you'll, if that doesn't make you want to listen to it, I don't know what will. Podfeet.com is her web address, I should say. And you can find out how to contact her there as well. Really interesting, though. What an amazing tool and a great way to make the web accessible. And I think this works on both counts because I think oftentimes we feel that this is something that is for us in the sense of for developers who are cited to develop websites for us. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's kind of good to know from our point of view how accessible our website is. I mean, especially from when I'm building a website or you are building a website, we might not necessarily think about low vision because we're thinking about screen readers.
Of course, yeah.
So contrast, text size,
yeah,
all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, initially, my first go-to place is, well, you need to get people in, actual people with these disabilities to check it. But from a practical point of view, that's not always possible. To get low vision, to get screen reader users in every time, every different change that you make. So there is absolutely a place for these tools. And this does seem to be particularly well thought out. So yeah, this is a great thing. Of course, you should always get someone in afterwards once you feel like you've finalized everything
actually,
to double check.
Before, because what you don't want to have is a finished product and then bring disabled people in then and say, what do you think? And then, you know, just like Alison saying, well, if you did this and that, oh, well, now we'll need to go back and re-engineer.
Screw that. But there's the beta process, right? The beta process would be part of that, I would assume. I would feel uncomfortable with anyone just running anything they develop through a accessibility checker and saying, right, that's it, it's ticked all the boxes, without anyone actually getting hands-on with it that uses it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying it's got to be a conversation. Ideally, get disabled people in early so you can have the conversation. The tool really is there as a final thumbs up. That's really what it's there for. It's there for the final stage. It's not for the beginning stage. It's not for that, you know, give it a tick and then we all carry on. Because there's the real world example, which is people using it, the challenges they have, the issues they have, depends, of course, on different screen readers, different browsers, different systems, different phones might display things differently, etc., etc. We are out of time, Seanfries. This is an absolute disgrace.
It is.
I'm enjoying myself. Can we just keep going?
We've got tomorrow.
What's
it's
on
fine.
Next? What's on next that's so important that we have
something
to get cut
amazing.
Off? Anyway, fine, whatever. I'm out.
Wow.
I'm just going to go and sulk now. More emails to come tomorrow because there's so much to talk about. You guys are relentless and I love it. Keep your comments coming. Feedback at doubletaponair.com. Call us 1-877-803-4567 and leave us a voicemail. Or you can find us on the socials. Find us on the socials. X, Mastodon, Facebook. I think we're on Facebook.
You said X, not Twitter. Well done.
Just forget it. Just forget Facebook, so I don't check it. And yes, on X and Mastodon. We're back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Joita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube, or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.